Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this 24th of January 2015. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 45 minutes as we discuss the world of sports. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to my website, CyrilGeraldQuinn.com, or go to Facebook at Facebook.com/Cyril/CyrilQuinn. And we begin with the story that has captivated the country in the sports world, and that is, of course, Deflategate. And, you know, it's, you hate to be talking about these things, this type of story, 8 days before the Super Bowl, but it kind of makes perfect sense in terms of how the NFL season off the field has gone. I mean, we began the summertime with this Ray Rice situation. Then you get all these domestic violence cases coming up, Greg Hardy, Ray McDonald, and what have you. Cover-ups abound with Rice and Goodell. So it makes perfect sense that we end the season. Again, 8 days before the sports, before the number one sporting event in the world, or for a year, takes place, or the most watched sporting event in domestically takes place, makes sense that this is how we're going. This is how we're going to end it, because that's what kind of year it's been for the NFL. And so far, in terms of how this situation has been handled by the NFL, they are going to get what they deserve, and that is a public relations image integrity nightmare. Because the NFL, for whatever reason, has not learned this lesson from Ray Rice. They haven't. They have not learned their lesson from the concussions, that situation. They just haven't. Instead of coming out there and punishing the New England Patriots, the NFL wants to drag its feet with this situation, wants to push this back and pretend like it never happened. And just say, you know what, the magnitude of this game, these two great teams, these two great coaches, these, you know, quarterbacks going for multiple Super Bowls are going to somehow make America forget about this issue, that this situation ever happened. And they could not be any wronger. Or they could not misgauge or misjudge the situation anymore. It is time for the NFL, Roger Goodell, to stand up, man up, and just tell the truth. Stop hiding behind your billions of dollars, behind your lawyers, behind your popularity, behind your power, and man up. See, them putting this situation off only takes away from the game. I haven't, you know, we're eight days away from the Super Bowl. I haven't really even thought that much about the Seattle-New England matchup. That's how big of a story this is right now. really a perfect storm of events in terms of the story. The Patriots, the integrity of the game, Super Bowl week, or coming up on Super Bowl week, and the fact that the NFL has dealt with so much off the field stuff for this entire season. This investigation could have been over by this weekend. A decision could have been made before the teams board the planes tomorrow. Seattle leaves tomorrow Sunday afternoon. New England will leave on Monday afternoon. It's on Monday afternoon and arrive early Monday evening to Glendale, Arizona. I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to know that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick both knew about this situation. I mean, really, you're talking about two of the most detailed, control freak-oriented individuals as a quarterback and as a coach that the league has ever seen. Stop. Please don't tell me that. Please don't try to convince me that those two guys had no clue what was going on in regards to the footballs. I will never believe it in a million years. Please don't try to tell me that some rogue, out-of-control New England Patriot employee went on his own, on her own, and deflated 11 out of 12 footballs, or maybe even 12 out of 12 footballs, without any consent from Robert Kraft, Tom Brady, or Bill Belichick. Please don't tell me that. That just completely would just insult any, forget about sports intelligence, but any intelligence that I have regarding even past sports. Don't tell me that. So to me, it's beyond that. And, you know, and I'll say this as well. If you're a parent of a kid, 10, 12 years old, that kid goes out there and breaks a car window or something, does something dumb, you know what? Even if you had no knowledge of it, you're responsible for the kid. You have to pay the damages. Now, what you choose, how you choose to discipline your kid, you know, whooping or take away his allowance for 8 months, that's your business. But you ultimately are responsible for that. So the New England Patriot organization is ultimately responsible for this act. Because the bottom line is 11 footballs or 12 footballs were deflated. There's no denying that. There's no denying that whatsoever. They were deflated. Nobody's making that up. Who did it? Who knew what? When it happened? It's all, you know, a mystery. This magical mystery all of a sudden. But again, the NFL is doing their sport no justice by sitting up here and hiding and running and hiding behind its power, hiding behind its lawyers, and hiding and trying to use the Super Bowl game itself as a shield to somehow protect it from the media, from the questions, from the coverage. It's not going to happen. And that's what the NFL has lost. It's not going to happen. There's no running away from this. I'm telling you right now, for the first time in my lifetime, I will DVR Media Day when the Patriots are at the podium. I'm going to DVR Media Day because they are going to get peppered with questions. And that on to Seattle, no comment, it's not going to work. It's not going to work this time if you're Bill Belichick. They're going to get blasted with questions. This is all everybody's going to be talking about. If the NFL came out there and wrapped this investigation up and did what they had to do, then we could move on. Would it still be a story? Yes. But then at least the NFL would have done its job. And the NFL could say, look, we're embarrassed. This is no excuse. This is not how we conduct. This is not how business is conducted. The integrity of the game is everything. Those who are responsible have gotten their punishment. Let's move on. But you know what? They're not going to do that because with that being the case, they would have to suspend Brady and Belichick for the Super Bowl. So that's not going to happen. again, they're going to drag this thing out, and you know, New England will lose a draft pick, and get a you know, $100,000 fine, something like that. Slap on the wrist. The NFL, again, nobody's going to take the NFL's investigation serious, not only based on how the NFL has handled investigations investigations in the past, especially investigating themselves, but the fact that the bottom line is of the relationship that Robert Kraft, who was one of the three most powerful owners in the sport, has with Roger Goodell. You go back to the Spygate situation. They destroyed the tapes. No, well, they'll just lose the first-round pick, $500,000 fine, and we'll destroy the tapes. Destroy the tapes. There's no need to see what was on those tapes. We're going to destroy them. Nobody's taking this investigation seriously. Because, again, if the NFL does the right thing, if they do the right thing, then they're going to hurt themselves. But to me, if hurting themselves means you have to take some luster off the Super Bowl game for long-term credibility, then you take luster off the Super Bowl game. Then you take luster off the Super Bowl game. If you had to suspend Tom Brady or Bill Belichick for the game, so be it. At least you did the right thing. At least you cleaned up your sport. At least this is something that will not be talked about moving forward after this in the 24-hour sports news cycle. But when you try to hide behind it, see, when you try to hide behind it and try to pretend like, yeah, it's a big deal, but it's not going to mar the game. The game is already marred. If Bill and if the Patriots ever win this game, which is certainly a possibility, nobody's taking the Patriots serious as a Super Bowl winner. Nobody's going to tell me. Can you imagine Belichick and Tom Brady on that podium with this cloud hanging over their heads? What questions will be after the game? Tom, you know, you have your fourth Super Bowl ring, but you know what? What about Deflategate? Does Deflategate take away? Those are the questions that are going to be asked. Does Deflategate take away from your fourth Super Bowl championship? Tom, Bill, is this Super Bowl tainted? Tom, Bill, will history ever forgive this Patriot team? Those are going to be the questions. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Goodman Review. Busy program, not to get to. We will come back. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Again, there's no running away from this. if you're in the NFL. I mean, it really, you can't. There's no half. You know, this situation. There's no half. You know, to steal a line from, you know, from Mike from Breaking Bad. There's no half measures. You don't take half measures and deal with this. You have to go all the way, and if it means damaging your sport short term for the for long term integrity, then that's what you do. Then that's what you do. NFL is going to ruin the Super Bowl. They're going to ruin the Super Bowl. It's already marred. It's going to be completely ruined if they keep handling this investigation the way they're handling it right now. And please, again, for the Patriot apologists, I don't want to hear, you know, this had no effect on the Indianapolis game. It's not the point. You know what? The fact that it had no effect on the Indianapolis game makes it even worse. Because, again, you could have beat Indianapolis with a Frisbee. So it makes it even worse, the fact that you would still try to cheat despite the ridiculous advantage that you had in that game. And the fact is that it is always the Patriots. No other team deals, no other team does these kind of things repeatedly as blatantly as the New England Patriots. And it's not even close. Again, what's going to happen too, and I'll be on the lookout for this in the next couple of days, you're going to start hearing some St. Louis Rams and some Carolina Panthers and some teams like that start to come out the woodworks with some stories on with some stories. Be on the lookout for Marshall Faulk or Kurt Warner or somebody like that in terms of their comments. And the second thing, please don't try to separate Brady from Belichick in terms of one knew, the other didn't, or one. Or they are joint at the hip. They're joint at the hip, period. There's no separation between those two. None. Okay. They are as close of a quarterback coach could ever be in the history of the NFL, period. Saturday morning headlines, Hall of Fame and all-time great Ernie Banks, longtime Chicago Cub, of course, has passed away at the age of 83. Banks, of course, simply one of the greatest shortstops of all time, 512 home runs, had 540 home run seasons, just an all-time great player, Hall of Fame player. His 512 home runs actually count. You know, there's no steroids, no amphetamines, none of that nonsense in regards to Ernie Banks. Of course, he came up with the famous phrase, "Let's play two," as beloved of a baseball player in one single place who played with the same team that the game has ever seen. I'm sure the Cubs will do a number of things for him, and honor his memory as the season approaches, and also of course throughout the 2015 season. I believe the Cubs open Sunday night baseball with the Yankees, probably the last Sunday in March, I would say, to open the 2015 season. So Ernie Banks did at the age of 83. Klay Thompson, what a third quarter he had last night. 52 points in all, 37, an NBA record, 37 points in the third quarter. 13 for 13 from the field, 9 for, including 9 for 9 from 3-point range. He was 2 for 2 from the free throw line. Just, again, as good as as dominant of a third quarter that you can ever have in the regular season game. And just put it in perspective, besides the fact that he didn't miss a shot. You know, think about some of the great offensive players that have ever played this game, whether it's Wilt Chamberlain, whether it's Michael Jordan, you know, Kobe, Oscar Robertson, you know, just some of the most lethal players in the history of the sport. And who has the number one scoring quarter of all time? It's Klay Thompson. That is amazing. I mean, again, Klay Thompson is a very good player. I don't know if he'll make it to the Hall of Fame. I'm not, it's too early to gauge that. But just considering some of the names that he passed to get to this point, to get this record, is really extremely remarkable. As he as he broke open a close game at halftime. It's 58-58 at halftime, 5-point game in the third quarter, as Golden State rolled the Sacramento Kings by 25 points. Serena Williams, Novak Djokovic advanced in the Australian Open. Roger Federer was eliminated, of course, yesterday as the number two player in the world. I mean, who knows how many chances he has to win a Grand Slam title. Of course, this is a very difficult surface because the surface is so fast between this surface and the U.S. Open surface. Very difficult place for him to get a Grand Slam. Probably, again, best chance is going to probably be at Wimbledon. But you have Djokovic, Serena Williams, Venus Williams, Rafael Nadal, you still have some heavyweight players, Maria Sharapova, advancing to next week of the Australian Open. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk about the night of NBA basketball that's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Again, big night of NBA basketball. We've already talked about what Klay Thompson did. His just tremendous third quarter, also a historic third quarter, 37 points, 13 for 13 from the field. Big win. Couple of great wins from teams who are right now the two best teams in the league by record, and just in terms of, and also in terms of just playing the best, Hawks and Golden State. The Hawks have beaten just about everybody. I mean, let's be honest, they've beaten almost every good team imaginable with what they're doing. They've won an NBA high 36 games, second best record behind Golden State at 36-8. They take out Oklahoma City last night by 10 points. It was after, a relatively struggle in the second quarter. In the first beginning game, they really, really controlled the game from the second quarter on. Again, just tremendous balance. They're just fun to watch play. They move the ball. They defend. They do all the little things. You can tell, guys enjoy playing with each other. And they bring it every single night. They've just been a fun team to watch over the course of the season. And certainly they have to be taken seriously as a legit contender to get to the NBA Finals. I don't think they can win a championship. I think they can get to the Finals, but I don't think they can win a championship. But a tremendous win for them last night against Oklahoma City. And it's, I'm telling you right now, Oklahoma City, you know, Phoenix has played much better than I ever thought Phoenix would play this year. I thought Phoenix would take a step back after surprising people last year and almost making the playoffs. Phoenix has played well this year. I know that they had a tough loss last night on a buzzer beater by James Harden. But Phoenix is, you know, four games in the win column ahead of Oklahoma City, just a couple games in the loss column. Oklahoma City is going to have a hard time. Really, it's not going to be easy, that easy, as I thought it was going to be for Oklahoma City to make the playoffs. So it's not by any stretch of imagination a guarantee that they make the playoffs. And again, it is hard to have sustained winning streaks in the NBA's Western Conference. With the amount of quality depth and tremendous depth that the West Conference has. So that should be something to watch out for over the course of the season. Golden State, of course, just 35-6 playing tremendous basketball. Golden State, you know, again, the playoffs will tell the whole story. Can they beat San Antonio? That would be the number one question for them going into the playoffs, a healthy San Antonio team. That's my number one question for Golden State going to the playoffs. But you have to favor them over anybody else other than a healthy Spurs team. Not only do they beat teams, they destroy teams. I mean, they're winning. Their margin of victory is 12 points. And in the NBA, that is a ridiculous, ridiculous point differential. I'll just to put it in perspective, the year that the Chicago Bulls went 72-10, their point differential was at around 13.1, 13.2, which, again, was insane, and it was the reason why they were 72-10. And who considers one of the greatest teams, if not the greatest team, for a single season in NBA history. 12.1 in the Western Conference. Think about that. So right now, they're just playing off-the-charts basketball. I know James Harden has been great, but to me, Steph Curry right now is the MVP of the league. I go back to that theory, best player on best team more times than not, unless somebody on a great team, on a good team that's up there in terms of their records, having just an off-the-charts type year. That has not been the case with Durant and LeBron James not being what they normally are, and also their teams not being as good as we thought they were going to be, considering all the injuries and the drama that's going on in Cleveland and also OKC. Kobe Bryant is going to be out probably for the rest of the regular season, torn rotator cuff. The Lakers did an awful job at managing Kobe Bryant this year. Not a bad job, an awful job. Think about this. To begin the season, Kobe Bryant, in the first month of the season, October, November, they played one October game at the end of the month. But let's just say November, was averaging 37 minutes a game. Now, he had a great month. I mean, he was a leading scorer in the league at the end of the first month, basically was playing well, was looking spry. But again, you're talking about a guy who's 36 years old coming off two really major, major injuries. I mean, a knee injury this, you know, prior last year and the prior year, of course, the Achilles injury, which has ended many NBA careers. And with the mileage, playoff-wise and regular season-wise, again, you hear Byron Scott saying you should have been done a better job. Yeah, you should have. Again, you're playing a guy who is at the end of the rope physically, 37 minutes a game. Just even when they tried to calm it down, when it was too late around Christmas time, he still will finish the season at around 35 minutes, at close to 35 minutes a game. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, Phil Jackson's last season with the Lakers when they were trying to three-peat again. Kobe was, you know, 4 years younger, and Phil basically held him to under 35 minutes. Held him to about 34 minutes a game because he wanted to take off in terms of the wear and tear. And Byron Scott was had him at 35 minutes a game 4 to 4 years later. So again, the Lakers were asking for that injury in terms of Kobe Bryant. They were asking for it. But The good news, if you're a Laker fan, is they will be guaranteed a top five draft pick. That means they will be able to probably it will be a protected pick. They'll have a chance at not. They'll have a chance at Jahlil Okafor, the great prospect out of Duke. So you can add him to, or add another top prospect to Julius Randle. And you just, you know, listen, this is the NBA. You have to bottom out. You have to bottom out. And that's what Boston's trying to do. That's what the Sixers are, have perfected in terms of being bad. That's what you have to do in the NBA. You have to bottom out in order to get great, to get good again. You have to be awful. You have to be awful and hope you get lucky in the draft. Get some cap space, and move on from there. So the Lakers, again, will have, you know, they're going to have cap space this year. They'll get another top pick next year in this 2015 draft. They'll get Julius Randle back, and, you know, hopefully you can keep Kobe relatively healthy for next year. Even if you don't, and he retires after next year, you'll then be able to fully clean the slate with cap space and young prospects. But they'll be terrible again, you know, more likely they'll be terrible again next year. Not too much going on with the All-Star game selections. There are always going to be guys who make it that don't make it. Carmelo Anthony just, you know, certainly shouldn't have been an All-Star. Kobe Bryant voted on there, but still was having a very good year. But we know Harden and Klay Thompson are having better years. The big story to me, and Mark Cuban alluded to this, is the lack of votes. I mean, Steph Curry led all All-Star voters with about 1.5 million votes. There have been years where guys have garnered upwards of 3 million votes. And what that tells me is Boston, the Lakers, the Knicks, having those major traditional powers be just god-awful, definitely had an effect on, you know, the popularity of the game and on fans voting. Now, again, sounds like NBA ratings are pretty good, but, you know, when all those major markets, those Philadelphia included, those classic traditional powers are hurting, it's gonna have an effect somewhere. You know, the Clippers are not the Lakers. The Nets are not the Knicks. So that, to me, you know, is the biggest story in terms of the All-Star process. Not who made it, who didn't make it. It's always going to be a snub or snubs, and you just have to get over it and move on from there. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll have another edition of Are You Kidding Me? That's coming up on this latest edition of the Silicon Review. We'll be right back. For 877-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinlan Review. Seattle cornerback Jerome Lane says that, you know what, this Rob Gronkowski guy is not that good.
Are you kidding me?
You know what, I think there should be a rule when in sports, when players come after all pro other great players, that your resume has to feature at least one Pro Bowl. At least one Pro Bowl on your resume. I mean, it's one thing if Richard Sherman, arguably the best cornerback in the league, or Earl Thomas, best safety in the league, or Cam Chancellor, best strong safety in the league. It's one thing if they come out and say, Gronkowski's not that good. They have hardware, they have Super Bowl hardware, they have, you know, the cachet, they have the reputations that can back up those words. Jerome Lane? Really? I mean, excuse me. Jeremy Lane? Really? Who are you? You're a nickel cornerback. Like, I mean, you're not even a thought in the grand scheme of the, football fans. Even if you're a diehard Seattle fan, you're not talking about. I mean, even after I mentioned those other three big names, I'm still going to talk about Byron Maxwell before I talk about Jeremy Lane. I mean, this kind of reminds me of Anton, of this Pittsburgh safety, like a few years back during the Patriots. Patriots Super Bowl undefeated run, Anton Smith coming out and talking trash, guaranteeing a victory before the game, the week of the game, which is really unheard of in the NFL. Like NFL, the teams say, you know, we can win. The guys don't normally guarantee victories before games or during the weeks of games. But he came out guaranteed a victory. And Belichick, Rodney Harrison basically said, guys like that basically said, like, who the hell is Anton Smith? Like, dude, you're not Troy Polamalu. You're not Ed Reed. Why are you talking? Why are you speaking? And, of course, the Patriots kicked Pittsburgh's ass that Sunday. So, again, if I'm Pete Carroll, I'm not one for bulletin board material, motivation, that type of stuff. But I'm pulling Jeremy Lane aside and saying, basically, shut up. Just shut up. Don't say anything. Please don't say anything. So it's just amazing about not only what is being said at times, it's about who says, it's who is saying it. Marshawn Lynch says he's embarrassed by the NFL.
Are you kidding me?
Here's a guy who basically says nothing to the media. And the excuse I've heard for years about this in terms of Marshawn Lynch is, well, in college he got hammered by the media. It was some issues and some difficulty, so he's kind of been guarded ever since then. Or you're here, well, maybe he has a disorder where he doesn't like attention, some type of mental thing where cameras, things of that nature. I'm not buying any of that. When you can come out there, okay, he's done three things this year that to me make that a bunch of garbage. Number one, you put velvet rope around your the car. I got a Lamborghini. Again, drawing attention to himself. The second thing is, after he scored a touchdown, the game-winning touchdown against Green Bay last week, you grab your crotch. So that's number two in terms of drawing attention to yourself, which, by the way, should have been penalized. Another break that didn't go Green Bay's way should have been a 15-yard penalty, and ensued on a kick, which would have affected the field position on the kickoff. But anyway, and the third thing is you're going on Twitter. So you're not this shy individual that everybody wants to make themselves out, make you out to be. You know, you're just being immature. he's just being, you know, just being a, basically a butthead. And that's fine. If he doesn't want to say anything, fine. But I don't want to hear any complaints about when you get fined by the media. Because clearly, if you have, you know, if you can grab your crotch after a touchdown, you can speak to the media. As the bottom line is, Marshawn Lynch leaves the NFL today, nobody's going to miss him in the grand scheme of the game. The game will move on past Marshawn Lynch. Trust me. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We'll be right back on the Serial Queen Review. Review. Of course, we began the show talking about what is right now is the number one story in all the sports, Deflategate. Patriots in the middle of a yet another scandal of cheating, or alleged cheating. I'll call it, it's cheating. The deflation of 11 out of 12, or maybe even 12 out of 12 game balls. Apparently, the balls were deflated probably before the game, and were used in the first half, and apparently were corrected to proper proper weight of the ball for the second half. And again, that's another thing. Patriot, you know, the Patriot apologists. Well, Brady was great. He threw the ball great in the second half with the inflated ball. So what do you have to say about that? And which totally is besides the point. Again, the point of this is that the bottom line in terms of this is that either 11 or 12 of those game footballs that the Patriots used were deflated by at least 2 pounds, period. Just the bottom line. Somebody deflated those footballs. And again, this is something that the NFL has completely dropped the ball on as far as this investigation. They're going to try to drag this investigation out. They're going to try to use the Super Bowl as a way to hide what is going on, or as a way to, or hoping that everybody, media fans, are going to just forget that this is happening and focus on the game. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so, people don't trust the NFL right now when it comes to things like this, based on how they've handled the concussion situation with the ex-players, based on how they've handled the Ray Rice situation with the domestic violence. They don't trust the NFL. They don't trust Roger Goodell right now. The NFL had an opportunity to use this situation to really get back in the good graces of the public as far as its integrity goes. Had a real opportunity here. And again, they are going to blow it. They are going to completely blow it and make it, in turn, what has been a horrible year into a disastrous year. So, again, this investigation is going to drag on past the Super Bowl, probably will be wrapped up, you know, a couple of days after the Super Bowl. Patriots probably get slapped on the wrist. And then the NFL will move on about its merry way. Instead of handling this with suspending Brady, suspending Belichick, you know, hurting its product for this year, but gaining long-term integrity and long-term trust with the fans, media, and what have you, and people who follow and cover the NFL, the National Football League. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Circle Review. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I will see you next time.